Live Line on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry, bringing you great savings on curtains and bedding. Available all year in store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Live Line. 51551 is our text number, Joe with RTE. It began the programme 4 minutes after Taoiseach Simon Harris announced on Friday afternoon that the Dáil, he was going to Morris to request the dissolution of the Dáil. 4 days into the election now, the first issue that dominated Liveline on Friday was the taxing and means testing of carers' allowance, which means that the vast majority of carers do not get any help from the state. And I'll do the details of what people do get in a sec. But Grace Jennings is among a number of people who contacted us. She's in Ballinasloe. Grace, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Joe.
And how are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
You've had a rough day of it so far, I'm told. But tell us your situation as a carer. Who do you care for, Grace?
I care for my 94-year-old husband, and I am 85. And I have a letter here dated on the 18th of July where I was allocated 9 hours per week.
Okay.
So I had somebody came in the morning at 10 and then they came back in the evening at 8 and then he died.
The carer,
so
the person.
So we were left without him in the evening.
Okay.
But we never heard from the HSE that Ronan had died and they never replaced him. And we were getting on mighty. He was very competent and it was wonderful to have him. But we haven't had anybody since. And that's just what I want to know. Are we going to get somebody?
And I hope you get some form of carer's allowance.
I know. Of course I get the carer's allowance. That I have no objection to that.
Because you're 85.
All I want is a carer to replace Ronan, who unfortunately died.
And how
was doing a great job.
Well, tell me, how are you managing?
Well,
as with Benny.
Difficulty.
What is his dependency, so to speak? Is he very dependent on you?
Well, you see, he needs to be rolled back and forward in the bed to get on the pads. Well, it's quite difficult. He's not a small man, but he's also not a big man, but he's a tall man.
Okay.
So it's not easy. And that's where I find the difficulty.
Did you do that today?
Yes, I did.
Every day?
Every day.
And how do you manage?
I don't know, but I've got very good neighbours and friends who are very helpful. But, you know, they're not there all the time.
Of course.
They're only available when they're available.
And can Benny, your husband, can he get out of bed on his own?
No, not really. But yesterday, don't ask me what happened, but yesterday he got out of bed in the night. So it would be Saturday night, Sunday morning, he got out of the bed and found his way to the bathroom because he obviously wanted to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
And then I could hear him calling out and he was on the floor of the bathroom where he'd slid down the side of the bath. Well, I couldn't lift him up, so I put him on a dressing gown that was on the back of the door, a toweling dressing gown, and I pulled him back into the bedroom in the hope that he might have been able to lean on the bed, but anyway, it didn't happen. So then I was forced to call my neighbour, and he came over and lifted him into bed. Well, that was yesterday morning, so then I thought to myself, I've really got to go to town on this. And my cousin Philip rings up from Dublin every day when he heard this. So that's how I've come to be talking to you.
So exactly at the minute, how many a carer comes in, how many hours per day?
He just comes in for 1 hour in the morning.
And is that every day?
And no, that's only Monday to Friday.
Okay.
Saturday and Sunday, we have nobody.
And how many hours were you getting, Grace?
Well, I was getting somebody Monday to Friday, half an hour in the morning, an hour or whatever in the evening. I was getting the 5 days and then Saturday and Sunday.
You got Saturday and Sunday as well?
Yeah.
And that
you
made
see, and
it,
if I got that, yeah. I could manage very well.
Okay. And that unfortunately finished when the carer passed away.
Yes, exactly.
And how long ago was that, Grace?
Well, it must be 7 weeks now.
And the image you have yesterday, you've given us of Benny, your husband, lying, is he on the floor in the bathroom?
On the floor in the bathroom. He must have slipped and
yes.
slipped down the side of the bath, you know, the panelling.
And you went in, you couldn't lift him. So you went in and got...
Oh, no, I couldn't lift him. Nowhere could I lift him. So I got the large toweling dressing gown from the back of the door and I put it on the floor, rolled him over onto it and pulled him back into the bedroom in the hope that I could have got him to the side of the bed where he could have gripped it and got up, but I couldn't. It didn't work.
So you pulled the toweling bathrobe with your husband on it, on the floor.
Something
that we might see in an improvised stretcher in a war zone. You're pulling him up to the bed in the hope that when Benny got to the bed...
He could have gripped onto the edge of the bed and pulled himself up, but no way could he do that.
So what have the HSE said to your...
Well, I haven't been on to them. It's only Monday. This happened on Saturday, so I haven't spoken to anybody since.
Well, we'll get on to the HSE on your behalf with your permission.
Well, I hope you'll have a bit more luck than I've had. I just find, you know, these girls or whoever they are keep coming in.
Yeah.
And the impression I get, they're very nice girls, very polite. But I just reckon there are an awful lot of chiefs and not too many Indians. Which isn't necessarily their fault.
But what's critical for you, well, among other things, what's critical for you, Grace, is that you have someone in the morning and someone in the afternoon stroke evening. And that's should be seven, because there are 7 days in the week.
Yeah.
So at the minute, you're 1 hour a day. What time do you get that at?
1 hour a day. Well, he's supposed to come early, but he came today at 11:45.
Okay, because he's probably doing loads of other... And you would, well, it would be much better. Well, much, much more than
I would prefer
10
him
hours.
At about 10 o'clock in the morning, and I don't care what time he comes in the evening.
And Grace.
8 o'clock is a good time.
Grace.
Yes?
Like, I proffered this image a few minutes ago of somebody being pulled in a makeshift stretcher. In other words, the toweling dressing gown on the ground. You roll Benny over onto it.
Yeah.
You then pull him. But what I didn't remind, when people conjure up that image from a war zone or whatever, they immediately see two or three young people pulling this makeshift stretcher. But you were 85 years of age.
That's right.
And how
I don't want a medal for that.
I know.
I was in, and so I had to act.
So how are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
You're incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You're incredible, and when did Benny is 95 still, but when did Benny become so dependent?
Oh, I would say his dependency must have been about 4 months ago.
Okay,
maybe longer. I've lost track of time and dates and things.
Of course, but up to that, the two of you, Grace and Benny, you're active, obviously. Thank God. But where would you
just
be?
Just hold on a moment. Girls?
Yes?
Sorry, go on. What were you saying?
Yeah, you're active, obviously, and up to, you say, relatively recently, Benny was active.
Oh, yeah. But, well, you know, he was reasonably active, but not too much.
Okay. And what is it like having to ring your neighbours?
Well...
You've good neighbours.
They're very good neighbours, but you know, after a while, you start thinking, well, you know, they've a new baby, and you know, you can't do it.
Yeah. And Grace, yesterday, it was Saturday. You were pulling Benny. Well, it's every day you're helping your dear husband because of his dependency. What would happen if you got sick or your back was pulled out? You're 85. I know it's young.
Yes, I know.
These days.
Well, my husband is a very good person, and he's been very good to a lot of people. But he was especially good to me when my mother had a stroke, and he helped me nurse her for 10 years. So no way is he going into the hospital.
Oh, you won't?
Oh, no, not at all. Not if I can manage him at home. I can manage him at home so long as I have that amount of care. I don't want round-the-clock care. I just want that amount.
What is the hardest part of the day? What is the part of the day that you dread most, Grace?
Well, I don't really dread most. I'm just glad he's there and he's breathing.
Okay.
And he's still got his sense of humour.
Okay. Well, that's good, is it?
Oh, I think so, yes.
Okay. And Grace, you mentioned that the two of you looked after, was it your mother?
My mother.
Okay. And how long were you looking after your mother for?
10 years, but I was much younger.
And was she living in the house with yourself and Benny?
Oh, she lived in the house with us. She had a stroke and couldn't speak and was paralysed down her right side, but was, you know, able to manage walking what do they call that stick? It's not a Zimmer frame. But she was wonderful.
And did you?
But more importantly, he was wonderful to my mother, and he made her 10 years just bearable.
Okay. And Grace, do you mind me asking, did you get carer's allowance when yourself and Benny were looking after your mother?
Well, the funny part it was, no, we didn't.
Surprise,
and then we had a very nice neighbour, and whatever she was going on about, there must have been some thing about it. And so she said, are you getting a carer's allowance? Well, I said, some doctor came and interviewed us and what have you, and then went away and we never heard a thing about it. So the next thing was, didn't we get this doctor, another doctor comes back.
Okay.
And he said, you haven't got the carer's allowance. I said, no. So we got it then.
Rightly so. Well, it's a modest amount anyway, but every little helps. And I know...
Oh, my goodness, it's wonderful. But, I mean, it's not the money I'm talking about.
I know that.
I want a body.
Okay. But what you're asking for as well, Grace, given the situation and the scenario that the 85-95, the scenario you're in, with Benny being so dependent, and between you, we have, 8, 9, 9, 8, we have 180 years.
No.
180 years between you on this good God's earth. And what you're looking for what you had before. And by the way, listeners...
I'm not looking for anything else.
I can hear that. But you're getting an hour each weekday. That's 5 hours a week.
Yeah, not on a weekday, right.
Yeah, not on a Saturday or Sunday. So that works out if you average it over 7 days, but you don't get it that way. It would be less than an hour a day. But what you're looking for is you're pleading that can you go back to the way you were 8 weeks ago?
Ronan Ward was our carer, and if we could have the same hours that we had with Ronan, that would do us fine.
You're not asking for much extra, which is fine.
You know your own no, as you say.
Want. You're clear.
Mm-hmm.
You're clear-headed. You know what you don't want, which is a nursing home. And I can't imagine, most nursing homes, as you know, are brilliant, but I cannot imagine the cost to the state of a nursing home compared to what you're getting at the minute, which is minimal, to say the least. And when you say... Like, can you chat with Benny most of the days?
Oh, yes, we talk about it. I don't tell... He doesn't know I'm on with you.
Oh, does he not?
He'd be mortified.
Oh, would he? Well, has he a radio? Is there a radio in that bedroom?
Oh, no, he's not. Thank God he has two hearing aids, so he'd have difficulty hearing you. But the point I'm saying is I want absolutely nothing. I don't want... I don't want any contraption. Yeah. All I want is the extra carer.
That Ronan got. And Ronan Ward, as you mentioned, so I can't pass over. You said Ronan died. Is that what you said?
Yes, Ronan died. Ronan was absolutely wonderful.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I don't know, really, I won't go into this area. Did he die? He must have died unexpectedly.
Oh, very unexpectedly.
Oh, God rest him. God rest him. Grace, how long are yourself and Benny together with the sense of humour?
64 years on the 21st of June.
And where did you meet?
We met in England.
Okay. And, well, could you narrow it down a bit for me, Grace?
Oh, yes. So we met in Yorkshire.
Okay. And were you in a work environment or...?
No, no. My parents went to England in 1945.
Yeah.
I stayed with my aunt and then they took me over when they got a house in 1947. And I went to school in England and that's where Benny and I met.
In school?
No, we met in England.
Oh, in England, okay.
Yeah, but I had a lovely experience of England. I mean, you couldn't get better people. I mean, they were just lovely.
As you are. And as Benny
is.
Well,
I don't know whether I am or not.
Like when you sound it. And where's Benny from originally?
But Benny's from County Down.
Ah.
From Castle Wellan in County Down at the foot of the Mourne.
Oh, what a beautiful spot.
Yes, isn't it?
And how did you end up back in Ballinasloe? Is that where your home place was?
He was a painter and decorator.
Okay.
And things were getting a little bit awkward in England. Money was scarce.
Okay.
And so he said to me, he said, I think we're going to have to leave London, but I love London. We moved to London in 1966. And I loved it. I really did.
Okay.
But anyway, he decided he wanted to come back to Ireland.
Okay.
And we couldn't go back to the north because of me and my English accent. So he decided, he said, I think we'll go to the west. We had great friends, Michael and Julia O'Neill, in London.
Yeah.
So she said, oh, you'll have to come to the west. Well, as I'd never been to the west.
Okay.
Anyway, we loved it. We came here and that was it.
And how long ago was that?
91.
Yeah, well, that's well over 30 years ago. Well over 30. Yep. And are you glad you came back, Grace?
Oh, my God. Glad. Oh, life is totally different. We're surrounded by great people.
Ah.
Absolutely wonderful. Wonderful neighbours. And it's just a very nice way of living.
Okay. And is Benny, apart from being bedridden in that sense, Grace, is Benny in any pain or discomfort?
No.
Okay. And are you?
No.
Okay. Oh, you sound such... What a patronage. What were you... Patronage thing for me to say. You sound such a ton. What are your hobbies together when you met? What did you do together that brought you together?
We like music. We like singing and dancing.
Okay.
He liked golf.
Okay.
I'm not a sports person, but I can understand his love of golf.
Okay. And he has
football.
And can he still engage? Well, he can. You told me he can have.
Oh, yes, he can. Yeah. Oh, he'll be watching. He'd be watching any of the football. You know, here the GAA here. You know, the Premier League
Premier League in
England.
Yeah, of course. There's lots of it. And will the two of you? You've enough to be doing now. Will the two of you follow the election here?
Well,
you see, I'm hoping. I'm hoping we've been onto the HSE. But
Listen till I tell you.
Yeah, okay.
I wouldn't be belonging to any particular
party. Oh, that's fine.
Party,
yeah, that's fine.
Only
Thank
I
God.
Must admit.
Yes.
I admire the way that Sinn Féin is presenting itself.
Okay.
So we would more or less lean towards Sinn Féin.
Well, what I'm saying to you is, if any, you will get candidates from every party knocking on your door. And I cannot believe that anyone listening to you the way you've communicated, Grace, in the last 19 minutes, I don't think anyone would leave your doorstep without saying we will move heaven and earth to get you more help.
Well,
and I think, by the way,
I think
any all the political parties, regardless, all
you
the political
well,
parties,
I would have thought so.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, if it wasn't for my cousin in Dublin, Philip Jennings, well...
Okay.
That was it. We just might as well be on a desert island.
Okay, well done, Philip. And well done, Grace, for contacting us. And kind regards to Benny.
I will do that. And thank you very much for taking the time.
And thank you for making the time, because you're very, very busy. And will people call into you this afternoon? For I hope it's HSE.
Well, I've
you
already had one visitor today.
Great, okay.
And another call from our neighbour, and she'll be in this evening to see us.
To
but
help.
You know, they don't do anything.
They haven't, did they? But are they the neighbours with the young babies? the young baby.
Oh, yes, they're the neighbours of the young baby. Well, they have enough to do.
Yeah. Okay, Grace. When is the last time yourself and Benny got a break together?
I can't remember. But look,
that's not it. I know.
We're looking out onto a lovely view.
Okay.
We're just surrounded by greenery. What more could you want? And lovely people.
And loving people as well, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, Grace. Grace, we've been on to the HSE, and if the HSE heard of anyone, not just the HSE, and include every political party in this, in fairness, we're a decent democracy. If anyone heard you in the last 90 minutes, and if they had any hand actor part in trying to resolve it, and to resolve it, like, you're very modest in your simple requests. You're very modest.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we'll keep in touch. Please keep in touch. Thanks to Philip Jennings for pointing you in our direction. God rest Ronan Ward. He was
That's
obviously.
That's what I say. Ronan Ward was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. God rest him. Grace, what will I say to you to finish? I'm going to say, mind yourself, mind Benny. Benny, mind yourself, mind Grace. You have brilliant neighbours, because you are a brilliant neighbour, obviously, and people take to you. You seem to enjoy the glass half full rather than half empty, which is remarkable, a tonic for all of us. Pardon the mixed metaphors there, a tonic for all of us. But above all, we need to sort out this challenge. We really do. We really do.
Good. Well, thank you very much for bothering.
Not at all. Bothering. You're the one that's at the hard end of this. Grace, kind regards. That's Grace Jennings. In Ballinasloe, married for, what you say, 66 years?
How many years are we in? 1958.
We'd 66.
66.
66.
Oh my goodness.
And when
I'd even forgotten that.
And in 1958, Grace. The Beatles.
1958.
The Beatles hadn't even been formed.
Exactly.
And they hadn't even written, "Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
When I'm 64.
Benny is 95 and Grace is 85. You're an amazing Grace. You are
All
an
right.
amazing Grace. Mind
Thank
yourself.
Thank you very much.
Can you sit down now and have a cup of tea or a little break?
Oh, I will sit down now and have a cup of tea.
Okay. Thank you so much. Grace Jennings, what an incredible story. Let people judge that themselves. If you're as moved as our other listeners are looking at this, I think there will be movement. Hopefully there will be movement on Grace's modest demands this afternoon. Joe at rt.ie, 51551, text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And you know the song. It's been around for many, many years, late 70s. It's a classic, Summer in Dublin. And Brian White has contacted us.
Take me away from the city.
Oh, what a one.
Lead me to where I can be on my own. I wanted to see you, and now that I have, I just want to be left alone.
So, Brian, why is this? Why is the 46A, which is in this song, I think it's the only bus route ever mentioned in a song, why is it so important that you've contacted us today?
Well, just as it's going to disappear on the 8th of December, along with a number of other routes under the Transport of Ireland initiative.
The 46A will never appear on the front of a bus again after December the 8th.
And you won't be able to get a picture of her in front of a 46A.
And what will the 46A become? Don't tell me.
E2.
It's not a cream we take for... How long? Quickly, I know you're a historian. I want to get to Craig Berry in a second, then I'll come back to you, and then I'll go to Ken. Brian, how long has the 46A been running?
Since 1929.
Wow. Nearly 100 years.
Nearly 100 years, just short of its 100th birthday.
And its route, was it always... And I jumped on a bus at Dunleary, stopping off to pick up my guitar on the bus at the end, drunk on the bus, telling me how to get rich.
Yes.
Was it always Dunleary?
It had various routes.
Yeah.
It was always Dunleary, but it had various other routes as well, because its predecessor was the 45A, which came to Bray later.
Yeah.
And that started off in 1926.
Yeah, but the 45A doesn't have the same ring as the 46A.
No.
Sure it doesn't. No. Stay there, Brian. Joe at RT.ie. Craig, I know you have to catch a bus, so you're in a hurry. Craig Berry. And you're
yeah, no, I have a meeting, Joe.
Okay, well, tell us, Craig, about the history of the 46A. Did you know it was hitting the terminus for the last time in a few weeks?
Yes, yes. No, this plan has been going for about 5 years, Joe, okay. In terms of changing all the routes in the city, so no route's going to keep its number. So the 46A is a very historical route, started by the Dublin United Tramways Company in May 1926 on the current route. It's, as you say, most famous playing that song. It's kind of had a bus lane, a fairly good bus lane for the last 20 years and has seen significant investment. So it's really provided the people of Dunleary and Stillorgan a great service over the last, nearly 100 years.
They extend the route. Where's the terminus now? Is it Mountjoy Square or up at the Phoenix
Park? No, it's over in the Phoenix Park.
Phoenix
so
Park,
when the 10,
yeah,
when the 10 was withdrawn, another fairly famous route, the 46A went north side to replace it.
Okay, so, and you say it is a pretty frequent service. What will the changes be when the 46A is gone?
It's quite significant.
It's going to the
E2.
I know it'll be the E2, but in terms of frequency and...
Yeah, so they're gone. So if you look at Stillorgan Village, say, on the main Stillorgan Road, it's gone from 17 buses an hour down to 12. So it's about a 30% reduction. And then... when they would have ran the simulations on a lot of this stuff back in 2018, 2017, the 46A and the 145 had 120-seater buses. And that's now down, or 120-capacity buses, that's now down to buses that are about 80.
Oh, yeah.
So the big buses that everyone probably remembers on the 46A, they were gone a few years ago.
They used to call them the three-wheelers.
Exactly, yeah.
Because they 2, 4, 6, 8. They had 8 wheels on the back of the bus, hadn't they?
Exactly. Yeah.
So they could take the extra numbers, the extra weight. And why did Dublin Bus get rid of the three-wheelers?
Well, in terms of the ones they had and the ones that they brought in the mid-2000s, it was just because of age. But obviously, it's the government that procures buses now and not Dublin Bus. And obviously, it's up to the NTA to decide what buses to buy. And they haven't obviously seen the appeal of these massive people carriers, which... to be honest, served the city quite well, especially on the 46A and the 145.
They weren't much longer than the two-wheelers.
No, they were 12 metres or thereabouts, and they could get around the city. Unlike they had a trial of bendy buses back in the 2000s as well, and they didn't work very well at all. But these big triaxle buses were great people movers.
Now, have you any idea, Craig, I know you're a bus enthusiast, have you any idea on the 46A, going back 29 years, how many different models of bus would have gone through that century? Do you follow me? When it began in 1929, was it a tram or was it a Leyland bus or an open?
It would have been a small single-decker produced by a company that no longer exists called Thornycraft. I couldn't even count. It's definitely more than 20 types, you would think, over the years.
And is there any original 46A? And I know the National Transport Museum are brilliant, stretched financially, but brilliant. Is there a Thornycraft 46A still around?
None of the original tramway buses survived. Of the original 1920 single-deckers, there is a double-decker they've got from 1937, which is, it's amazing to think it's still there.
And is that an open top or just double?
No, that's
enclosed,
It's R1, so it's the very first double-decker that the tramway company operated in the
remember
city. So it's great it survived.
They didn't even have power steering, did they, Craig?
No.
Can you imagine the poor bus driver trying to get that
behemoth? They must have had some strength.
Loaded around, trying to get that around a corner. By the way, Craig and Brian, are you still with me?
The E2 will also operate now on a 24-hour basis.
Oh, great. About time. Brian and Craig, a quick question for both of you. I know you're two enthusiasts. Can you name the building in Dublin where the letters DUTC, Dublin United Tramway Company, are still present and accounted for?
So that's on the building of Marlborough Place, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, you know everything, Craig.
Yeah.
I was looking at it on Saturday. If you stand at the Lewis stop in Marlborough Street in Dublin, and you look opposite Briody's is the pub there, very famous pub. And beside Briody's there, I think Dublin Bus still own the building as such.
They do, if you
look up, which people don't do, if you look up to the top of that building, you'll see in stone DUTC. And that's Dublin United Tramway Company. Where's Ken Doyle? Ken from Bagatelle.
Hey, Joe.
Ken, how are you? Sad day. Sad time.
It is a very sad time. Like, we've been we've been aware of this for the last while, and also our fans, our supporters are heartbroken over it too, because the actual song Summer of Dublin was conceived on the 46A.
Ah.
The whole song relates to that, because when Liam was walking down...
I'd say it might not have been the only thing conceived on the 46A over the...
Probably wasn't.
Especially in the back row upstairs. Anyway, enough of this gurrier conversation from me. So it was conceived on the 46A.
Yeah, when Liam was walking down Grafton Street, he'd after been at a gig with the Boomtown Rats, were playing in Moran's Hotel the night before, and they played the Bob Seger song, Rock and Roll Never Forgets.
Okay.
And it was going around in his head, and he was kind of in a, you know, singing it to himself, not concentrating too much. And at the bottom of the street, the 46A took a hard left and nearly ran over him.
Okay.
And that was where my humming was smothered by a 46A. So he gets onto the bus with his bag and his guitar, heading out for Longford Terrace, where he just moved fairly recently.
Okay, Monkstown,
and, out near the Purty Kitchen.
Yeah.
And next thing, he sees the dishevelled drunk coming down, and he's saying, God, I hope he's not coming down towards me. He goes down and he says, you know how you'll make a fortune with that music and all this kind of thing. And that's what he's saying. I was glad we weren't going too far.
Brilliant.
But
stay with me, Ken. We listen to it. It's genius. You should be so proud of it, Ken. You really should.
I tell you what, I love that song. I love Liam as well.
Yeah. God rest.
I'll always remember your kind words, and I'll still remember your name. But I've seen you changing and turning, and I know that things just won't be the same. I remember that summer in Dublin, and the living it stank like hell, and the young people walking on Grafton Street, everyone looking so well. I was singing a song I'd heard somewhere called Rock and Roll Never Forgets, when my humming was smothered by a 46A and the scream of a low-flying jet. So I jumped on a bus to Dunleary, stopping off to pick up my guitar, and a drunk on the bus told me how to get rich. I was glad we weren't going too far. So I'm leaving on Wednesday morning and trying to find a place where I can hear the wind and the birds and the sea on the rocks, and where open roads always are near. And if sometime I tire of the quiet and I want to walk back up that hill, I'll just get on the road and I'll stick out my thumb, 'cause I know for sure you'll be there still. I remember that summer.
incredible. Ken, how quickly did you realise it was going to be a classic? I know you have a number of classics in your repertoire, but how quickly did you realise Summer? It's a very unusual song, as I say.
When Liam joined the band, we went up to John O'Brien, founded Bagatelle, our guitar player, the late John O'Brien, another great musician as well. And we went up to his house on an out-of-tune upright piano. Yeah. He said, by the way, I write a few songs myself, and he played Summer in Dublin. Yeah. And when he finished, he swung around and said, what do you think? And everybody just looked at him. I'd never said a word for a few seconds. And he said, well, what do you think? Do you like it? I just said to him, did you write that? And he said, yeah. Why, do you like it? I said, yeah, that's more than a song. Now, I didn't know what it would turn into. But I just knew. I mean, it was different. It wasn't Baby, I Love You or that. This was something completely different. And a lot of the more kind of intellectual people actually nicknamed it Riley's Blooms Day, because it is pretty much like a day in the life.
A story.
And the mad thing about it was
images.
Liam moved from a flat in Leeson Street with his flatmate, and they moved out to, because it was too noisy, they moved out to Longford Terrace in Monkstown.
Yeah.
The landlord opened the door and he looked in, and what's in the corner? Only a baby grand piano.
Wow.
And Liam said, we'll take it. And he said, you haven't seen it. He said, it doesn't matter, we'll take it.
I've seen enough of it.
Yeah, and six months later, he broke a string on his guitar and he was looking for spare strings and he looked everywhere. And then eventually he stood up on a chair, look at these real tall, high wardrobes with the shelf on the top. And he reaches in and there's a shoebox and he finds the strings in the shoebox. But he also finds a crumpled piece of copybook, copybook paper, with lyrics written on it. And he looked at them and he sat down at the piano and he put the music to it. And that was Summer in Dublin. And if that piece of paper had gone missing or the shoebox got lost
it,
and didn't move...
And where is that?
Bagatelle would never have been born, but he also the song would never have been born.
I wonder where the lyrics, the original lyrics are that Liam had in that copybook. I wonder where that copybook is now.
You know what? Liam might have even held on to them. I don't know.
So.
But it would be incredible to have them.
Well, when you go to the British Museum in London, Ken, and you see scraps of paper, Lennon and McCartney. Incredibly important and nostalgic. And who wrote, was it Liam and John who wrote the songs?
No, Liam actually wrote it.
Yeah.
And I remember when he told me that story, we were doing a TV show about 12 years ago, and he told me that story before we went on. I nearly got arse. I go, Scott, you realise if you hadn't found that piece of paper, we would never have been born. The song wouldn't have been born, but we would never have kind of met or interacted with that,
Incredible. I remember Paul McCartney yesterday, the song, the melody, he dreamt it.
And
he jumped out of bed one morning with this yesterday in his head. And he had no lyrics. So we just started writing down spaghetti, spaghetti, spaghetti to the tones and the... So of these moments, classics like Summer in Dublin are made. Where's James Nicholson? James?
Hello, Joe.
James is in Cork. How are you, James?
I'm good, thanks.
I mentioned, it was Craig who mentioned, going from 1929 to December 2024 when the 46A would disappear from the streets of Ireland. I was asking him many different iterations in terms of vehicle. And I think he said up to 20. And we were reminiscing about the Leyland R1. Is that what it was called? Anyone my vintage knows it. The bus driver sitting in the front on his own above the engine, the bus conductor under the stairs on the open platform at the back.
Yeah.
And then you climb. Now, they were fairly flimsy, but when they were weighed, then how did they had no power steering?
There was Leylands and guys, and the guys had no power steering. The Leylands had at that stage. They were the ones where you sat up the front, and the jockey held on in the back and hoped for the best, that you can take the corners too fast.
The conductor, you
carry 55 people.
Yes.
And going down a hill, the thing was going around, you were turning the steering, and you weren't just sure how far around you were going to get. And I wasn't a big person. I'm not that very strong. But you just kept push and pull. And there was air-assisted brakes. So it was a wing and a prayer sometimes, but we got through.
And how would you get the strength? Would you must nearly have been standing in the bus to try and get the pull on this. It's a big, it's a wheel you see on the deck of a ship, the size of it.
Oh, it's a big wheel, yeah. It's as wide as, I don't know what it is, 2 foot across, but not 2 foot, 18 inches across. But as you come into your corner, you'd slow down and you'd allow the traction of the road to help you to turn the wheel. Yeah.
So you try and get a bit of speed.
The speed right. Like, moving out from start was quite difficult.
Of course. And what would happen? Would the steering wheel ever beat you? In other words, would it, if you let go, would it unravel, so to speak? Would it spin back against you?
Go back to neutral, it'll go straight on.
And take the hand off you.
You'd lose a thumb for a start.
Oh, God.
But it was a massive experience as a young fella doing that in a second city in the UK. It was a buzz, an absolute buzz.
Okay.
And they moved on to the real posh ones, which become one man.
Okay, of course, yeah.
With the doors, like, the very double, similar to current buses. Didn't change that much. It was West Midlands Transport.
And James, how are you, having driven a bus, a fully laden bus, with no power steering, how are your arthritic shoulders at this stage? How are your shoulders?
Luckily, I don't drink, Joe, so I don't need my arms that much. I'm at that stage, so I'm quite good, actually. Okay. And I can reach the bell and I can reach the door handle.
Now, are the R1s, in the 46, those Leylands and Guy buses, I remember in Fleet Street, the driver would have to climb down from his turret, so to speak, and he'd have to hit the radiator with a metal bar. What was that about? To get a spark, was
probably
it?
Circulation. I don't know, probably circulation. I mean, he climbed up into this little cockpit. It was like a cockpit.
Yeah, cockpit, yeah.
Where you had three steps up. If you missed your step, one down, tough. You didn't go to quite anybody. You just got up and got on with it. But it was absolute fun. And people were lovely. And it was real experience. Yeah. Real experience.
Great.
So I really enjoyed it. But it's just when they were talking about the no steering, that was in... They were phasing them out now at that time the 1970s.
Yeah, thank God.
And then you can twist them with your finger.
And then the configuration in the bus, the younger people wouldn't, well, anyone under 50 wouldn't know this. There was a long bench behind the driver across the width of the bus, and you were looking, your back was to the driver, though we used to always kneel up on it so we could see into the driver's cab and see ahead of us. Then there was the two television seats. When you got on the bus conductor under the stairs, you stepped in, there was two bench seats facing each other, and they were called closest lot was ever got to television. That you'd sit opposite, you sit looking at the person opposite you, and then there'd be about six rows of two seats on either side, and then you've upstairs.
That's right, yeah. Nearly 30 upstairs.
Okay, Brian, stay with us, Jane. Brian White, have we anything planned for the last 46A?
I don't know. With this iconic song, we'd have to do something to show it off.
We have to organise a convoy. Where's Jerry Mooney when we need him? Jerry is the great man for vintage buses. He's a photographer, well-known photographer with the Indo especially. Jerry, we'll try and contact Jerry because I know, knowing Jerry, he'll have something in mind. This cannot pass. Ken, this cannot pass unremarked in our national...
Joe, if you have a second, I'll just say... About 2 years ago, Summer in Dublin was voted number 5 in the best, greatest all-time Irish songs ever written. And we performed it in the Helix with Nathan Carter, did the vocals and played the piano on it. It's really, really good. But Dave Fanning, your own Dave Fanning, was on the panel. And he just happened to say to me, my father died on the 46A.
Wow.
Up in Stephen's Green.
Are you serious?
I said, what? That's incredible, you know.
His father died.
His father died on the 46A, he was telling me, up at Stephen's Green.
Okay. Ken, you mind yourself. Can we see if there's a last 46A, come hell or high water, I'm going to be on it.
Well, do you know what, Joe? I think we'll organise the band to do Summer in Dublin or something, you know what I mean, at the very last room. We'll do something anyway, because I tell you, I just can't let it pass as nothing. I hope they don't start renaming the rivers now. The Shannon will be R1 and the Liffey will be R2. The Shore and the Barra will be R3 or R4 or R5.
It's only a matter of time, Kent. That's a great Ken Doyle from Bagatelle, Brian White and James Nicholson with the strong shoulders. joe@rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
There are ads everywhere, it seems, for, make sure
obviously you register by tomorrow for the election, but two, that you may be eligible for a postal vote. But when you go, it doesn't give the list of what allows you eligibility for a postal vote, but it's extraordinarily limited when you think of what happened in the US, for example, last week. Fintan Leahy. Fintan.
Yes, Joe.
What happened?
Hello.
What happened? You wanted a vote.
I did, yes. I always vote. It's a pernickety I have. It's just the same.
Thankfully,
I've always voted. And I tried to exercise my franchise this time, but I was told that because I'm going on holidays, I'd be unavailable to cast my vote. Mm-hmm. Because the explanation I was given was that it's only open, a postal vote is only open to those people who are, God forbid, disabled or they're working. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to be in the lucky position where I was going on holidays on the date of the election. And I picked my holiday as well because I was reliably told a few months ago by all the parties that this government will go on full term, full length, which will be next February and March.
That's true. That's very
and
true.
And blatant lies, but...
Yeah, well, that's... They went. No one
I know the way politics goes.
Yeah,
I know that.
Good
but
man,
but
man,
I was absolutely reliably informed that February, March, it was going the full distance. There was going to be no shirking of that date.
Okay.
And lo and behold, I changed my holidays.
Did
I
you?
I changed 5 months ago, yes.
Fair play.
Well, there was other reasons as well,
but
that was one of the reasons. You know, I would always try to exercise my voting.
Yeah, called your franchise, your democratic life, yeah.
Well, so, I see in America this weeks before,
months.
Months.
You can start voting, And then...
But I can't, I feel discriminated against because, God forbid, if I was disabled, I could get a vote.
Yeah.
You know, and if I
so
was...
So the people, Leon, it's a very limited list, as I say. By the way, Fintan, can I put it to you? If you were on holidays, I don't know, say Spain or whatever.
Yes.
Okay. Like when the Brazilian elections were on, that's the one I remember most vividly. When the Brazilian elections were on, Brazilians could come to Dublin on this, I think it was a Sunday, because I saw the queue and it was out the door. I was wondering what it was. It was out the door of the Gresham Hotel on Conn Street, around into Cahill Brewer Street, back down to Cahill Brewer Street, across into Parnell Street, wait for this, and up into North Great George Street. That's how long the queue was of people who wanted to vote. And by the way, it was an incredible atmosphere because there was all Brazilians meeting, maybe for the first time. But they could all vote. And what my question to you is, if you had to travel, say you were in San Pedro and you had to travel to Malaga, which is an hour to vote in the Irish consulate, would you go?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Of course I would. Yes.
You would have gone, okay. That's but it's not very simple.
I just can't see for the life of me why someone it's above board, like I won't be I won't be copying the voting ballot or anything and sending in a 100 or anything. I'd be identified
and
as
it'd be
one
organised through the Irish rep, and it would be. So the only people who have a vote, postal vote in Ireland, that ain't going to change before November 29th, members of our brilliant army, brilliant Gardaí, diplomats serving abroad. So they vote in some way on that day or beforehand. So electors living at home who are unable to vote because of illness or disability, that's not true. This is unclear. Electors whose occupation, service of employment makes it likely that they would be unable to vote in person. I don't know what the specifics are there, but you're not included because you're on holidays.
No.
Full-time students registered at their home who are living elsewhere while attending. That's been there for a long time. Prisoners, obviously. Though, again, relatively recently, prisoners were allowed to vote. Shamefully, they weren't allowed to vote for many years. Certain election staff employed at the polling stations. You know, if you're in a polling station in South Cork and your voting base was north, they wouldn't force you to go back over the Lee. They'd let you use a postal vote. But that's it.
Yeah,
that's
I,
it. I'd say that's less than 50,000 people can exercise a postal vote. Army, Gardaí, diplomats, people who are illness or a disability, maybe 70,000.
I suppose I'd be of the opinion that everyone should have their democratic rights upheld, no matter where they are.
Okay.
And that would be my feeling on it.
Okay.
I also have an opinion as regards the when you go into the voting register, when you go into vote, your name is ticked off. You know, that you have voted.
Yeah, and they draw a line through it, yeah.
Yes, and that register is available, as far as I'm aware, to all the politicians, the local politicians.
And I'm unaware of that now. I'm unaware. I know they're it's so. By the way, it is so well organized, Fintan, that because I know my son used to do it. He's a big politics nerd in the best possible way. He used to do it, and he was extraordinarily well organized and extraordinarily disciplined in terms of who could or couldn't see. And of course, Michal and Simon, it's politics. Will the election be next week? The politicians say yes, no, and they're entitled to change their mind. It's hardly a sin by any stretch of the imagination. Thanks, Fintan. That's Fintan Leahy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe at RT.ie. Teresa, good afternoon. Back to carers allowance and variations and iterations and complications and nuances. This is, anyway, I can't comment on what I think of it. Teresa.
Hello, Joe.
What's your situation and what has happened?
So, Joe, I'll be as concise as I can.
Yeah.
So I have been on carer's benefit for about the last nearly 2 years.
Okay.
Carer's benefit, you can draw carer's benefit if you're a PRSI worker. So my situation was that I have two neurodiverse children.
Okay.
And between that and me having developing a medical condition, it was just too difficult to keep my job down. Okay. And the lads kind of needed more care and attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I applied for carer's benefit, and happily my employer agreed to take 2 years leave.
Okay.
So that was 2 years ago, and it was it would be coming up. Well, with one of my young people, the 2 years is coming up.
Uh-huh.
It would be ending. So I thought a couple of months ago, I said, you know, I'd better look at what I'm going to do. Now, my own health has deteriorated so much that I'm not going to be able to return to work.
Okay.
So I... Now, I will say that the carer's benefit the invalidity benefit that I applied for, it really helps me. It, you know, gives me my dignity, and it's my own, you know, few bob. I do have a partner, and, you know, he's a great person. But so anyway, I applied for the invalidity, and I was so grateful and delighted. I got it on the first. There was no over and back looking for extra reports or anything. I was awarded it, and I was thrilled.
Okay.
So they told me that my carer's benefit last week would be the last week, and that my invalidity benefit would start this Thursday on the 14th.
Okay,
So of course, as part of the budget this year, both people on any carer's benefit or allowance or people on invalidity or disability were awarded a €400 bonus.
Mm-hmm.
And I realised, I said, oh, when am I going to get mine then?
That was a lump sum. And it was
the lump sum.
To be paid. It was it's like what people were, correctly told about the double children's allowance. If you had a child, if your first child is born, I think it's November, December now, I think you get 420 as a once-off. So carers, people who were getting carers support grant, they were told you're going to get a once-off as well this month at 400 quid. By the way, there's also a €12 increase in the maximum rate of carers allowance, which, you know, is means tested and tax band carers benefit. But €12 euro from next January, the threshold in terms of applying being means tested went up to try and get you some eligibility, went up to 625 earnings for a single person.
Mm-hmm.
And 1,250 for a couple. And there was a €20 increase a month in domiciliary care allowance from next January.
Yeah.
So, you were thought you were due this 400 once-off payment.
Absolutely, and, yeah. and I was banking on it. Yeah, yeah, many people yeah. looking in our lives probably wouldn't believe it, but yeah. I was banking on it.
Okay.
And anyway, last week, people on invalidity or disability got their €400.
Okay.
So as I wasn't on the scheme last week, I okay. wasn't entitled to get it last week. And this week, yeah. the people that are on CARES benefit or CARES allowance get it this Thursday, the 14th.
Okay.
And as I was no longer on CARES benefit scheme after the 13th of November, I was informed I was not going to get the bonus.
And when you contacted, this is such a Grand Canyon to fall into, that you yes. were you went from one to the other, and because there yes. was a difference in the week, in the way the in the week yeah. in the chronology of when the 400 was allocated for carers and then the 400 allocated for the invalidity, you got yeah. caught in that week, and that's why we got onto the department, because yes. it's so awful, it's so unfair. Yeah. What did they say to you?
So the carers benefit department, they did have the good grace to get back to me, and okay. they just put it in black and white that because I wasn't in the scheme, I wouldn't get it.
Ah.
You know, I wasn't entitled to it.
Yeah.
And they gave an email address to contact the invalidity department.
Mm-hmm.
So I emailed them straight away, and I never heard back from them.
Yeah.
So
you lost. You thought you lost the 400. You were caught within that little yeah. time frame.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought, Joe, you know, that I'd bring yeah. I really wanted to talk about it to someone. And I said, you know what, I'm going to ring Joe or email his team, because it's for other people, really. You know, it's kind of the, I suppose what really caught me, because I worked as a public servant, you know, and it was the inhumanity. And I kind of said, are there not people maybe dealing with these applications anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Have they gone really kind of grand and they're using AI or the computer-generated okay. decisions? Because it just lacked yeah. such humanity. It just seems so unfair. And
especially in the context of the announcement of the double payments.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it was Heather Humphreys who was retiring, and it's a great
yeah,
a record of public
woman.
Service behind
yeah,
it. Lovely
fabulous.
Woman. Great record of but in the spirit that it was being announced,
yeah.
it was very inclusive.
Yes.
And then you suddenly yeah. find that you were caught and you got a letter saying, hard luck.
Yeah, yeah. You're not in the scheme. You're not getting it. Now, thanks to you and your team, it has been resolved. And but, you know, one shouldn't have to do
yeah,
that. And
yeah, here,
I was fortunate
here,
enough
here.
That I have, you know, I had the IT skills to email
yeah,
and,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, and I had a bit of time. You know, other people that yeah. are on CARES benefit
here, here.
Or on invalidity or disability, they yeah. don't have the skills, the time,
yeah.
The confidence,
yeah.
You know, the ability to express, because it's difficult. I'm fairly articulate, but I find it pretty challenging, you know, speaking to any of those departments or standing up for myself. But I just decided, I kind of, I suppose, saw red this time and said, you know, I'm not taking this.
Yeah, well
because
done.
Even though, I'll be getting my invalidity pension, it's not as if I've waved goodbye to my two individuals that I'm caring
yes,
for.
Yes, of course.
That, you know, my caring will go on for them.
Which is what people kept saying. Well, now it's back to the budget. What,
yeah.
what carers kept saying, you know, when you hit 66, the
yeah.
person you're looking after, you're responsible. In fact, you can argue with age. You're not getting any younger, either of you. Your
no.
responsibilities and tasks become more onerous. But the state
yeah.
decides once you're 66, they cut the carers allowance in half.
Yeah, it's ridiculous is probably simplistic. But it's just not fair.
Well, that's
you know,
the system.
Where
but anyway,
is the humanity?
The system,
yeah.
the system and as often. But anyway, it's for other people. I hope if anyone else was caught in that,
yes.
that 7 days, if
yes.
anyone was caught,
yeah.
that's 7 days.
I was caught in one day, Joe.
One day, okay.
Because of the 13th, my care and benefit was ending,
okay.
and the bonus was due on the 14th.
So if you're moving, if you were from one state payment
oh,
to another,
my.
Both of them were
yeah.
eligible for the bonus of €400.
Yeah.
So the bonus has to follow you, has to come with you. It can't get lost in a 24-hour chasm somewhere. Okay.
Yeah, surely.
And what age?
You know,
I won't go into it, but if you don't,
yeah.
what age are your two teenagers?
16 and 17.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Yeah.
Best wishes. And 400 is, I mean, you said something to me there. People looking in at our lives. You used that phrase. Do you remember using that phrase?
Yeah. Yeah.
People looking in at our lives wouldn't realise that we would need the 400.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They wouldn't.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. It says it all.
I suppose that's why it's so important always. Yeah. There's talk of they're going to means test child benefit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I would be totally against that because I don't think you can judge. And,
yeah.
And you know, there are couples and when you're jointly assessed, but
yeah.
Some individuals within
yeah.
couples, their means are their means and
yeah.
they don't share.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but anyway.
So true, Teresa. Have you been canvassed yet? Don't tell me by who if you have. Have you been canvassed yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Any leaflets in the door?
Oh, yeah. Loads of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you gone through them?
I've just scanned over them.
I
mean, I love politics.
Yeah, so do I.
I sometimes wonder. I don't know if it's a new government that can change this because it's like as if people working in the department don't know what their right hand
okay,
is doing
to
their
policy.
Left hand.
But then again, we have a really
That's
vibrant
scaling.
Democracy and there's every chance
yes.
that the Taoiseach, the Tánaiste or the leader of the opposition party could knock on your hall door. That's the great country we live in. Okay, good evening, Margo, Teresa, Joe at RTE.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
In Brackenbury, back to the end of the 46A and Bagatelle. Lorraine, tell us.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good.
I don't know whether I'm overexcited or overwhelmed talking to you. Well, I listen to the show every day, but yes, I knew Liam. I would say at the beginning, it was about 25 years ago, I was living in Dublin.
Okay.
And I was going out with a guy that was in a band.
Oh, okay.
So all the wives and girlfriends of all these other musicians, we used to nearly just go out on a Saturday night together.
Okay.
Because we're all husbandless or boyfriend. But then he lived in Clontarf at the time,
okay.
and a few times we ended up back in his apartment with his lovely wife, Donna. And I'd say he came in a few times, maybe on his way back from a gig in Cork or somewhere, we were still there. But anyway, I moved to Dundalk about 20 years ago, and my now husband's local is a place called Donnelly's in Seatown.
Mm-hmm.
And Liam lived across the road.
Ah.
So we ended up living in the same apartment block as him. And he'd come in every day, or well, maybe I shouldn't be saying every day because why would I be there every day?
Yeah.
But anyway, there was an upright piano. And,
okay. and he'd play it.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Would he?
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
God.
He was
it
a great,
was like having
Liam Riley was a brilliant pianist.
He was brilliant. And that postcard that I sent in to you.
The Angus Collins is brilliant,
don't,
yeah.
Don't
the
know
bus.
Who made
Angus,
it. No,
Angus
guess.
Collins, I know him. He's a great cartoonist.
Is it?
I'll tweet it now in a sec, Lorraine, when we're...
Oh,
say what
it's
Des, Kenny Des.
Hello, Joe, how are
the,
you?
This is Des Kenny, Des Kenny, Des Kenny.
That's Des Kenny.
Okay, how are you keeping out, pal?
Way back from you,
how are you? Great to hear your voice. The buses.
The buses, Joe, you just sent me into nostalgia when you, the driver from Cork was talking about the old Leyland buses and how once when I was getting off in the Drumcondra, I wasn't on the 46, but the 11.
I should tell people it's the same day you're visually impaired. Yes, I should say that.
That's right,
yeah.
Joe, sorry. Vision impaired, and the conductor offered to drop me over the road. He did.
Brilliant.
And as soon as he did, somebody hopped on the bus and banged the bell.
Okay.
And off the bus went without the conductor.
Brilliant. Can only happen in Dublin.
He,
well, maybe Cork.
He wasn't fazed by it. He said, sure, they're going to have to wait at the next stop for me anyway, so whoever got on, they're only suffering.
By the way, it's gone off my screen, but on the night of December the 8th, Liam Spooner, start talking. Liam, quickly, Liam. Bolton Street, Dublin, the 46A, your memories.
Oh, Joe, years and years ago, as a student in Dublin, we used to get onto it, and then we'd drop off in Donnybrook into Kiley's. And then we'd go get out of there and go get into town, or go back maybe in the fine weather to Dunleary outside. And instead of being at lectures, we were sunbathing back again. But the 46A, fantastic. And I remember years ago bringing two of my daughters on the 46A just to tell them what I did when I was a student up there. And they loved it. It was a great trip.
They remember for some reason. So many people remember the 46A.
It's a connection. You should never get rid of it.
There's change in the north. On the 8th of December, that evening, there'll be loads of vintage buses travelling on the route, the last journey from the Phoenix Park across the Dunleary. And we'll give you more info. Niall McManagan's on sound, broadcast coordinator Shane Gavin, producer Rachel Graham. Ray Darcy is next. Stopping up to pick up my guitar, and a drunk on the bus told me how to get rich.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Refresh your home with the latest colours and designs in curtains and bedding, in-store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.